Grace and peace are yours in abundance in your knowledge of God and your Savior, Jesus Christ. God's word for us today comes from the letter of 1 Peter in the first chapter. Again, we hear the apostle as he writes, "In this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Though you have not seen him, you love him. Though you do not now see him, you believe in him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory, obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls." This is God's word. "You who would destroy the temple and rebuild it in 3 days, save yourself and come down from the cross." The words of those who passed by cut deeper every time. Crowds had once hung on Jesus' every word, but these onlookers had turned on him in the most vicious way. The chief priests and scribes pointed out what they considered to be the utter folly of this Son of God. He saved others. He cannot save himself. Let the Christ, the King of Israel, come down now from the cross that we may see and believe. Here, Jesus hung suspended between heaven and earth, utterly alone. His followers had fled into the darkness the night before. And except for his mother, the two Marys, and John, all his people seemed to just be gone. He turned his eyes where he was certain to find some respite. He looked into the heavens, searching for a sign of deliverance from God, but even the midday sky closed itself to him. The clouds were thick, the sun nowhere to be found. All he saw was darkness. Jesus gazed into that abyss and cried, my God, why have you forsaken me?" His cry echoed in the darkness. How could his father leave at a time like this? On January 12, 2010, Odinelle, a mother of six, was preparing rice and beans for her family's dinner. One of her children was playing outside while the rest were inside the ground floor apartment doing homework and playing. One moment it was a day just like every other day. The next moment the world itself shook with great convulsions, bringing the six-story building crashing down upon itself. Stunned and confused, Odinelle was able to compose herself and dig herself free. But she feared the fate of her five children who had been inside with her. And later she would say, "I was screaming out for the children and I threw pieces of concrete off of me but heard nothing. I could see layers of concrete on the spot where my children had been doing their homework. I was sure they were dead." The silence Odinelle faced was deafening. She could never move that kind of concrete rubble by herself. And with everyone else scrambling for their own survival, this mother faced the harsh reality that her children were dead or were soon to be. In a matter of moments, 5 of her precious children were violently snatched from her motherly embrace. The 7.0 magnitude earthquake that struck 16 miles west of Haiti's capital city and killed an estimated 230,000 people left our world staring into the abyss. Together we were brought face to face with the reality that this world is a dark, dark place. When we aren't entertaining and distracting ourselves, we're pressed by the brutality of this world on so many different sides. From everyday struggles and frustrations, to wars, to terrorist attacks, to natural disasters, to broken families and lost jobs and car accidents and long battles against disease. In these moments, we come face to face with our utter helplessness. We cry out for help to anyone looking for answers, and we especially pray to God time after time, but we may occasionally be tempted to ask the question, what do our cries get? Isn't it sometimes the same thing Jesus got? God's silence? As the dark clouds swirled over the head of Jesus, he faced his greatest trial. Everything that he stood for hung in the balance. In a matter of hours, he would be dead. Already, he had been shamed, humiliated, discredited. Everyone around Jesus had reason to abandon faith because the pressure to despair was immense. What good was it for him to patiently wait any longer? How could he possibly be waiting as death reached out to embrace him? How could he be the Messiah, the long-awaited King of Israel? Had he been mistaken? Now was the time to own up to it. Now was the time to give up. No one was going to fault him for it. But defiantly, Jesus pressed onward. He did the unthinkable. He resolved himself to wait patiently on his Father in heaven. He refused to give up hope that the kingdom of God was at hand. He did the unthinkable and did not fight to bring himself down from the cross. He didn't call on an army of angels to intervene. He did not curse God. Following the way of love, he persisted to the end. And the end did come. Under 6 stories of broken building, 7-year-old Kiki and his 10-year-old sister Sabrina were buried alive. Tucked away in a small pocket of concrete rubble with the bodies of their other siblings, they had amazingly been spared from a crushing death. But now they were trapped, alone, hungry, thirsty, and weak. The days passed, and there was no sign that any rescue would come. They heard no one calling out their names or digging to set them free. Kiki and Sabrina clung to each other, and they waited. Though it would have been easy to surrender to despair, slipping into death like their brothers and sisters, they continued to hope beyond all hope that they would be located and rescued. They found solace in one another, strengthened by the fact they were not alone. In this world, death stands on your doorstep and mine. Diseases, disasters of every sort, wars, violence in our communities, they rage around us. They threaten to tear our lives apart. Will you continue to look to God in hope or walk away in despair? Alone, you will eventually fall into despair. But with others, there is hope. Like Kiki and Sabrina, it is crucial that you and I face the harshness of reality in the company of one another. If you and I try to go it alone, we will not make it. We're simply not strong enough. God has given us a community of brothers and sisters that we might build each other up and be strengthened in the face of the world's darkness. Peter's first letter was written to Christians facing persecution, people tempted to give up on God. In today's passage, he wrote, "Now, for a little time, you may have had to face trials of all kinds. These come so that your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though it's refined by fire, may be proved genuine." Peter wrote these words to Christian communities, not individuals. He wrote about facing despair as part of a community of Christ. Without community gathered around the cross, the task ahead of us would just be too much. When you and I stare death and despair in the face, refusing to buckle, we need others standing with us. The hymn writer put it this way, and we sang this as our first hymn. "When all things seem against us to drive us to despair, we know one gate is open. One ear will hear our prayer." On Friday, they laid Jesus' body in the tomb. He had stared into the abyss, and it had swallowed him up. It looked like the kingdom that he preached never came. Scoffers said that his trust in his God was a joke. In a world where wisdom ruled, he had been a fool. The dark and unforgiving world asserted its strength, but as it pressed down relentlessly on this weak and seemingly foolish Jesus, its iron grip began to slip. And then on Sunday morning, the way of the world was shown to be a complete fraud. The world that everyone thought they knew was complete, it was turned on its head. Jesus, assumed to be a crucified failure, was bodily raised to life. His foolishness was proven to be true wisdom. His weakness, true strength. Everything the world thought it had figured out began to crumble in a pile of rubble. Speaking of which, a week after the disaster, Kiki and Sabrina's aunt returned to the family's apartment to look for some belongings. And as she looked through the rubble, she heard what she thought were muffled cries. Immediately, she started to dig with a crowbar, and amazingly, a team of 20 American rescue workers from New York and Virginia stumbled onto the scene and started to help. And they began to dig, and after 4 hours of digging and cutting through 5 layers of crushed concrete, they came upon Kiki. Huddled next to the corpse of one of his siblings, they were able to pull this living child free. And then they released Sabrina, trapped behind a metal chair after 8 days without food or water. The two children were reunited with their mother amidst tears and laughter. Their foolish hope was answered. A small window into another world revealed. In the story of Kiki and Sabrina, and in countless others throughout the world, we're given small reminders that our natural understanding of what is good or evil or right or wrong, wise or foolish, strong or weak, has been turned upside down in Jesus Christ the Crucified. The humble ways of faith, hope, and love that the world looks at and sees as insignificant are shown to be God's way. The dark world around us continues to mock our foolish hope, but our assurance is that the outcome of faith in Jesus is nothing short of ultimate and true rescue on the other side of death. Again, as Peter wrote, though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. Though you do not see God with your eyes, you know by faith you will be saved from the evil clutches of a world of disease, disaster, war, and hatred. Cling to God in all things, and you will be raised from the dead as Jesus was. And as you lie on your deathbed, and even in the days before now and then, you can be certain that God acts on the other side of death, on the other side of the abyss. The eyes of faith given by the Spirit of Jesus reveal to us that the true God of this world is found right in the middle of the things that terrify us most. God resides in the crucified and risen Savior. If it is foolish to believe in a God like that, a God you cannot see, a God on the other side of death, then let us be fools. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than man's wisdom. Let us pray. O all-embracing mercy, O ever-open door, what should we do without you when heart and eye run o'er? When all things seem against us to drive us to despair, we know one gate is open, one ear will hear our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.